Making America Smart Again. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger. Are you tired of your boss stealing from your paycheck to send to a government that's writing checks its body can't cash? It's the government's worst nightmare. Dave Krieger.
Okay, it is Inauguration Day. It's also Martin Luther King Jr. Day, because we are all judged by the content of our character, right? This is just happening for the second time since it became a federal holiday in 1983. Martin Luther King Jr. Day coincides with the 20th day of January. This is what happens at noon when one president leaves office and another president takes over. The next time that Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Inauguration Day are going to fall on the same day will be in 2053. And I'll be 99 years old if I make it that long. Oh, you got to love it. The World Economic Forum begins today in Davos, Switzerland. This is, not every billionaire is going to be in Washington for the inauguration. Some are going to be in Davos for the start of the four-day gathering in the Swiss mountain town, where we get lots of meetings together trying to figure out how we're going to screw the world and take over because we are the elite. Yes, booze, blow, and hookers for the next 4 days. That's right. That's what these billionaires, why? Because they can afford it and we can't, right? Yeah, makes you wonder just how many minor children Biden has had in the White House. Not the ones that he sniffs their hair, but for other things. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, what kind of legacy is he going to leave? COVID persecution, across-the-board oppression, censorship? I mean, come on. Even the Brownstone Institute is going after him. And you notice, see, here's the thing. Because of the fact that Pelosi and others railroaded him out of the electoral situation in November, he is not about to resign. All these rumors going around. Oh, yeah, then Harris will be the 47th president. And they're going to do this just to screw with Trump 47 merchandise. I'm just like, what other kind of crap can you come up with? Oh, we got a bunch more. We've got ministerial psychics out there predicting that they're going to blow up the Capitol today. That's what they're saying. It's like, come on, where are you people? They're coming out of the woodwork, and you know what happens when this is all moved indoors and security will be heightened? I mean, what, do they think we're going to have another designated survivor and the whole Capitol building's just going to go up and take the president-elect and everybody else out before the swearing-in ceremony? Here's the thing. The current commander-in-chief is going to be in attendance at the swearing-in. Yeah. Of course, Michelle Obama, Michael Obama, she won't be there. He won't be there. She won't be there. She'll be vacationing in Hawaii in her little bikini. Yeah. Doing what? Eating a banana? I mean, this whole situation is screwy. But it doesn't get any screwier than Biden now issuing preemptive pardons. Preemptive pardons for Fauci, Milley, the J6 committee. Oh, yeah. His last day in office, he's out there issuing preemptive pardons to Fauci, Mark Milley, and people who served on the J6 committee, and to law enforcement officers who testified to that panel, saying that I believe in the rule of law and I'm optimistic the strength of our legal institutions will ultimately prevail over politics. But these are exceptional circumstances and I cannot in good conscience do nothing. Biden said in a statement alleging the individuals to whom he issued the pardons do not deserve to be the targets of unjustified and politically motivated prosecutions. Oh, my God. Excuse me. We have a problem. Do you know what the problem is? How many people out there, raise your hand if you know what Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States says? Because I'm going to read it to you, the first paragraph. Then we're going to talk about that. This guy is an idiot if he thinks that he can get away with doing this. All right? Here's Section 2 and what it says. I'm going to only read the first paragraph so you understand exactly where we're going with this. The president shall be the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states. Did you hear that, Jamie Raskin? Yeah, the militia of the several states. idiot, Raskin, when called into the actual service of the United States, he may require the opinion, in writing, of the principal officer in each of the executive departments upon any subject relating to the duties of their respective offices. All right, we continue because the paragraph's not over yet. This is talking about what the commander-in-chief shall do, who he's in charge of, what he's in charge of, and how it works. And he may require the opinion. I require the opinion in writing of like Pete Hegseth and all the other nominees out there that have been disgraced by all these Democrat bureaucrats and everybody else there, including all the senators who unloaded on him. And I'm sure if you've been to TikTok or YouTube, well, if you went to TikTok, it was dark for the weekend. Now it's back up. However, not without suspicion. They're going to be for the next 90 days. Of course, Trump, he's expected to sign about 200 executive orders after he is sworn in. It won't take him long to sign 200 executive orders, a couple of hours. And they've already been nut up. Trust me, the whole committee's been together. Everybody's looked at the transition and the ideas that have been floated around. And all of those executive orders have already been drafted by attorneys working for him and under him. And he is going to go after deep state with a fever. Now I want to talk about the balance of Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States. And the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. He shall have, let's hear what I just said. He shall have the power, because we're talking legal now, to grant reprieves and pardons, and here's the kicker, for offenses against the United States. What offenses? You see, doing these preemptive pardons, what offenses? They haven't been charged with anything. How can you pardon somebody who hasn't been charged with anything? You can't. So this is going to get challenged all the way to the Supreme Court. And the majority are going to look at this and go, what kind of a moron? Oh, what? Come on. We all know that already. The guy's an SLB. We already know that. This is his last parting shot. You know, it really doesn't matter whether Trump revokes the security clearances of the 51 people that all signed that declaration, Russia, 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 and Hunter Biden's laptop and all the other crap. It's not going to matter. I mean, Biden is going to leave office, and the American people, and we're talking about everybody that voted for Trump, has nothing but contempt for this man. And now this is like a slap in the face. And AOC is having a meltdown, like I care. Why don't you go back to pouring coffee, that's about all you're good for. I really think that they need to launch an investigation into AOC and dig up all the dirt on her and expose her. I think they ought to do that with every single Democratic senator that shamed Pete Hegseth. They need to start digging and digging and digging and dig up all the dirt of all the Democratic congressmen that have had minor kids in their offices having sex with minor children. They need to find that out. Because, see, I mean, the deep state is using this. I mean, give Whitney Webb something to write about, right? Blackmail? How's that going to work? But you don't have power to grant reprieves and pardons if you haven't been convicted for an offense against the United States. And none of them have been impeached. What, do you think the Democratic administration's going to impeach any of these people? And Mayorkas Dorcas and all these other people that have literally broken so many laws? Including Biden himself. And let's not forget, you know, he pardoned his son. Yeah, Hunter might be able to get away with that, but is it an offense against the United States? Now we have to define what the United States is. Is it the United States of America Incorporated? Or is it the United States of America Common Law? Which one is it? You see, I think our founding fathers had it in mind, any of the United States, including its citizens. We'll be back with this discussion after the break. Stay with us. Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Oh, yeah. Worst nightmare, because we actually look at the Constitution for what it says, especially when it comes to the moron with a mental acuity of office furniture that is occupying the White House until 12 noon today. And following the swearing in of the president and vice president, the proverbial caca is going to start hitting the fan, and rightly so. Yeah, there may be, according to some of these commentators, like Paul Craig Roberts, who I deeply respect, that the litmus test awaits Donald Trump, and that's the pardon. See, here's the thing. This is going to be a grand affair with three balls, and the only people that are not going to be there are those J6 protesters who have been locked up all across the United States of America, way away from their families, having no communication, sometimes locked up in solitary confinement, being mistreated. Oh, hey, don't think these things are a cakewalk. No, when you are gone after by an administration like this one and they weaponize the DOJ, you know when they're pointing fingers at all of the people that are up for nomination right now, and the Democrats all are saying, are you going to weaponize the Department of Justice against all of the people that were involved? You see, why do they say stuff like that? Because they themselves participated in it. And again, you know the old saying, when you point a finger at somebody, four come back on you. And that's exactly why they said it, because they're doing the very same thing and accusing Hegseth and others of the very same thing they themselves were involved in. I could just imagine, you know, the tasks that Pam Bondi and Kash Patel are going to have before them. And yeah, it may be MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. And see, the thing is that Trump has to immediately issue a full and unconditional pardon to everyone. Officials, if he doesn't, officials who prosecuted all the MAGA supporters are going to have a precedent to repeat the maltreatment without fear of consequence. And here's the thing about the DOJ. You know, a lot of these are going to try to claim that they're all Schedule F employees. Well, this is where the house cleaning needs to start. This isn't one of these revolving doors, you know, like what happened during the Obama administration, where their attorney general goes right back to Covington and Burling, who defends MERS and you know, all the other crap involved in foreclosure, so they can continue to steal people's property. As 99.9% of all securitized foreclosures are illegal. Now, I'm not giving legal advice. I can't do that on the show. But I can tell you what, I sure as the hell can read the Constitution. And I'd like to know what idiot told Biden that he could pardon Thoroughly Modern Millie. Hey, if we attack China, I'll call you and let you know. Ha! That guy needs to suffer the consequence at the end of a rope. The hell with legal euthanasia or whatever you want to call it. Hi, that guy doesn't have room for juicing. I mean, we need to have public hangings in the square. That's how much contempt I have for this current administration. Because it's people like them that send jackbooted fascist thugs to Waco and Ruby Ridge and to Brian Malinowski's front door at 6:02 in the morning, putting two bullets in his head, trying to serve a search warrant without telling them who they were. That's the kind of stuff. You take those people and you string them up and you fire all those people and you clean house. But see, there's another way that Trump can fix this, because this Congress has a problem. It likes to write checks its body can't cash. And if Trump wanted to do the right thing, what he would do is every one of these spending bills that looks like it supports deep state, he does a line item veto. Whoop, 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 whoop. Just go right down the list and scratch out every single thing and veto it. See, because our Congress is not that split. The Congress and the Senate, I mean, it's just, you know, a mere few votes. There's no way that they're going to override a veto. There's no way. I don't care how hard up they are for money. Well, fiat money or Bitcoin or whatever, or Trump's billion-dollar mega coin or mega meme coin or whatever. It doesn't really matter. We don't deal in that kind of currency. Our currency is gold and silver. That's the constitutional currency. But, you know, the United States government has ignored that ever since it incorporated way back in 1871. It doesn't care. It made private deals with the banking community, many of whom are at Davos right now, basking in the fact that they think they're all immune from whatever abuse that the government can dish out. Yeah, they got another guest coming. If Trump is going to do the right thing, he would literally get rid of deep state if he really is serious about this. And it starts with pardoning unconditionally all the January 6th protesters and ordering their immediate release. And whoever violates that law, that executive order, whoever violates that, because, you know, to him, it's the rule of law, right? Just like Biden says that he can pardon people for offenses against the United States, even though they haven't been convicted or charged. You gotta be charged for an offense against the United States, folks. This is going to get challenged all the way to the Supreme Court. And it'll be the Trump administration doing the challenging. And they'll do it through the DC courts because they know they're gonna be running into all sorts of crap from these justices that sentenced these January 6th protesters to prison. And all they were doing was trying to petition for redress of grievances. And when they showed up at the Capitol, all hell broke loose. Why? Because there were agents provocateur from Biden's FBI in there. And this is also where the house cleaning needs to start, because these bastards need to go. We can't have a corrupt Department of Justice working in the wings. Now, of course, AOC and everybody else, here's the authoritarian right wing, all the conspiracy theories we've been telling you about. Yet all these people have been sitting in these prisons, in these gulags, some without trial, and still there, locked up in solitary. And I would say that the executive order may say, if they don't get an immediate release, we're going to come after the people that are holding them. And we're going to lock them up in the prison, and we're going to charge them with crimes for violating a presidential executive order. This is the only way Trump's going to be able to go after deep state, is to start filtering down into the ranks, finding out who's got outside connections to people who do not obey the mandates of the administration, and start nixing them and charging them with crimes. It's the only way you're going to clean the deep state, flushing them like a toilet, like a giant poop down a toilet. That's the only way it's going to happen. And I hate to say, you know, do I sound like an extremist? You know, you think about all those January 6th protesters that walked into the trap, because that's exactly what it was. And you have to wonder how Biden is getting away with claiming that he's pardoning all these people on the J6 committee and the Capitol police officers that testified. And, you know, you've got the DOJ, the FBI, the White House officials responsible for the indictments, the prosecutions, the imprisonments. I mean, they got to be investigated. And see, by weaponizing law for propaganda and political purposes, and by using prosecutions for the purposes of suppressing inquiry into potential voter fraud in the 2020 presidential elections, some law enforcement officials appear to have broken the law. If crimes were committed, the perpetrator must be held accountable, which is one of the reasons why Biden is out there trying to tell everybody, oh, well, I'm going to pardon for all the offenses against the United States. Well, what offenses? Is he going to itemize it? Is it going to be a line item? Itemization of what offenses these people committed? See, there's our problem, because he didn't do that. What offenses did these people commit against the United States? Did they commit them against we the people? Did they commit them against the United States government? Did they commit them against the actual vernacular of the Constitution of the United States? I mean, where did they commit it? Because I'm reading it right there, black and white. He shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment and nobody's been impeached. How's that work? How do you get to do stuff like that? Like, how do you get to pardon your own son for offenses he may or may not have committed? How's that work? I think this is going to face some serious challenges. See, people, if you don't study the Constitution and you don't know your rights, you don't have any. It's easy to figure out. All you got to do is read the Constitution and understand what it says. See, House Speaker Johnson says he plans to uphold ban on TikTok because of the threat it poses. So here is where Trump is going to have a conflict with the House of Representatives. Now, he may say, okay, I'm going to issue an executive order giving TikTok another 90 days while we figure out what's going on with TikTok and all of our people that are right-thinking instead of wrong-thinking. See, because what Biden doesn't want is for the truth to come out on social media where the younger set, I mean, we already know that TikTok went dark over the weekend as of January 19th, but now they're back up again. Now, a lot of these folks out there that are operating these various search engines aren't allowing TikTok back up. But don't worry. You know, if Trump gets in office, well, we'll see what's going on. But they don't have a whole lot of time, I don't think. I think their days are numbered. Sam Sorbo joins us after the break here. Talk about her new book on homeschooling. We'll be right back.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
And we are back following the news break. And as promised, I am delighted to have Sam Sorbo on the show. She hosts the Sam Sorbo Show on Patriot.tv, for those of you who don't know. She's got her own podcast, runs a movie studio with her husband, Kevin, who I've seen his flicks too. She shares her commentary on politics on her own podcast, including things having to do with religion, culture, education, inspiring audiences to create meaningful changes in their kids' lives. And I love it when you address children because, Sam Sorbo, I'm just delighted to have you here. I can't, you know, Godspeed to everything that you're doing, especially. Sam's got a new book out. Well, I don't know how new it is. I'm telling you right now, Humanix did you a huge, huge service putting out the Parents' Guide to Homeschool, because I see a shift in the way that people are thinking about public school. Is that what motivated you to write this book?
Well, what motivated me to write the book is I've been on this mission for over a decade, and I've refined my messaging, I suppose. So my first book was They're Your Kids, and it was my journey from a self-doubter, because I never thought that I could homeschool my kids, to becoming an advocate. And so that's the book that sort of just tells my story as a way of trying to inspire parents to go on that journey with me and for their kids. But over time, I've realized that it's not just an alternative choice that might be somewhat better than public school. I've discovered that school itself is child abuse, especially today, but not only today, but basically for most of its history. And let me remind you, we've only had school for the past 100 years. School itself is the grand experiment, and it's failed. But we, as sort of scientists, don't realize that we were in the middle of this experiment and how much damage was done to us as they experimented with their, quote, educational policies and practices on us, on you and me. And so it took me 10 years to realize the damage that was done to me and what my thoughts about education were that were entirely wrong. For instance, education should be a quest for knowledge. Well, a quest begins with a question. And the first thing a child learns in school is to not ask questions. Sit down, shut up. You need permission. You must raise your hand before you're allowed to ask a question. Well, that's a deterrent. That's anti-learning. That's anti-education. And by the way, it's very anti-child, because what is a child if not one great big question mark, right? Our two-year-olds know enough to ask questions. They start and they never stop until they get to school, and then school kills it. It kills their curiosity. It defeats their creativity. And we turn them into little robots performing for a test and conforming to whatever the school decides. Right now it's gender theory. So now they're conforming to whatever gender theory their teachers decide to impose on them. Oh, the little boy says, I'm a little girl. Well, good for you. Let's not tell your parents.
Yeah, we have a closet you can actually go dress up in, paid for with school tax dollars, which really burns my butt, but not so much as the gubernatorial candidate, Terry McAuliffe, which you quote in your book. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. I'm like, okay, that right there, That's all the credence I need to move this thing forward, because that's why I had Bruce Goodmanson on the show. He wrote a book. It's a fairly expensive book, How to Not Go to College and Make More Money Than College Graduates. And I even noticed that you even point out about the fact that college graduates, some that graduated in 2020, are still trying to get into their chosen field. This has got to tell you something, that education has failed us. But a lot of it is based, first off, the Constitution doesn't say you have a right to an education. It says nowhere in the Constitution are you entitled to an education.
No. Now, the state constitutions have their own versions, and so I can't go up against the state constitution.
Correct.
But I will tell people this. And we live in a government that is for the people, by the people, of the people. We don't serve the government. The government serves us.
Thank you.
But you don't put the government in charge of educating you. Hey, servant, you're here to serve me. Teach me what you need to do to serve me best. Because then the government says, oh, what we need to do to serve you best is you need to give me all your money. You need to give me all your time. You need to give me all your devotion. By the way, forget about God, because I'm the government and I'm teaching you now, and I'm going to teach you to worship me. And that's what we have. That's why we graduate socialists from high school. And by the way, I mean, what were the metrics? The metrics were teach my child important things so that he can succeed in life. They no longer do that. The state of Oregon passed a bill that said that children don't need to read or do math to graduate high school. Don't need to read or do math to graduate high school. There's a young woman in Detroit. She was class valedictorian. Class valedictorian, she needed to study remedial math her first year in college. She was so disillusioned because she thought she was so smart. She was class valedictorian. She couldn't understand remedial math. She needed a tutor. And then recently, the state of New Jersey just implemented this law this year. Teachers don't need to be able to pass a test to become a teacher in the state of New Jersey. They don't need to read or do math to become a teacher in the state of New Jersey? Well, who's teaching? And so let's go back to basics. It's very clear. In the Bible, it never says find a good school for your child. It says raise your child in the love and admonition of the Lord. It says teach your child my words, which are basically the Mosaic law. And this is what we need to get back to, because the plan for the family is the parents govern the education of the child. The joy of this, because people think, oh, this is going to be hard. How am I going to do this for my child? You think it's hard because you lacked parents. I'm speaking in general terms. You can argue with specifics. Oh, my parents came to every football game or whatever. Yes, but if you spent the majority of your days in school, that's 16,000 hours over a K through 12 career, 16,000 hours that you lacked with your parents, not counting the after school activities and everything else that you did away from your parents. We have broken up the family. And so now we have young people or older people who are having kids and saying, well, I don't know how to parent, because they weren't parented. And that's what education is. Education is really the parenting and the upbringing of the child. Should they learn how to read? Absolutely, because reading unlocks the whole world for them. Should they know some math? Sure, so that they don't get gypped at the grocery store. But if you just teach your child to read and do math, then the world opens up to them. They can read any book. They can teach themselves anything. And let's face it, we all know this. We just don't admit it to ourselves. We are our teachers. We teach ourselves. You don't learn anything that you don't first purpose to teach yourself. And so it's really up to you whether you want to learn or not. What we do with kids, we send them to school. We take the desire to learn out of them because we make it onerous and disgusting, and we codify it, and we make them perform, and nobody likes to perform, you know, just for the sake of performing, for teachers that maybe aren't the greatest, maybe annoy you, maybe say lies to you, right? And so we take away the joy of learning from the children, and that's child abuse. That is putting constraints on somebody where they don't belong. That's slavery. It's just terrible. So I really encourage parents. Don't send your kids to school.
I know. I love it. See, and the thing that bothers me is every time I look at a newspaper or look at some, doing some study for news prep for the show, I see that there is some elementary or middle school teacher out there that has been busted for molesting their students or having babies with their students. And I'm just like, oh man, where did we go wrong in society? We have moved away from God and start worshiping the other side and doing whatever it is that we want. But I love the way that you went back into time, because the very first thing that a child growing up, the very first words they hear is no. Now, where did we learn that? We learned that from education, because we were told no every time we tried to ask for something. Like, can I go to the bathroom? No, you have to sit there and hold it, not realizing that they might be giving our kids bladder issues later in life. I mean, we don't know what these people got in mind, but I love the way that you put this in the school lies section of the book, and you have places in here where parents actually fill in the blanks on their own. And I want to find out, especially when we get back, let's talk about the lies first, and what are they?
Are we taking a break? Sorry.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. We got about a minute before we go to break for a couple of minutes and we come back. So what are the lies? Let's cover the lies first.
Well, I mean, there are so many, but the big ones are teaching is hard, learning is hard. Those are the two biggest ones. Teaching is the most enjoyable thing. If you've ever taught a child anything, how to tie your shoe, how to open a door, how to hold a pencil, it's joy. They're happy because they're learning something, and you're happy because you're pouring into the life of a child. Teaching is fun. Learning is fun. Kids love to learn. Let's make learning fun again.
Yep. We'll be right back. 2 minutes. Be right back with Sam Sorbo. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
All right, back from the break. 12 minutes to go and we're done for today. And then everybody gets to go run in front of the TV set and watch Trump take over.
That's right.
And hopefully we're not going to have any issues, because all of these religious psychics out there are saying they're going to bomb the Capitol. And no, let's fearmonger some more, folks. I mean, they're not going to let go of this. Trump's got a lot of stuff ahead of him. One of them, I think, is the educational system, I think, is up for a little axing,
yes.
Wouldn't you think?
Yes. And I'll tell you this. People, don't worry. He's got this. Our God is bigger than that. They tried to kill him in Butler. He survived. Only by the hair of his chinny chin chin, or whatever you want to equate. So I have absolute confidence. And in fact, God has a history of providential weather events as a way of preserving freedom for the nation. Read your American history. It's something that I learned while I was teaching my children. It is not something that I learned particularly much in school. But when I started teaching my children, man, we all learned it together, and it was fabulous and worth the ride.
It is. Sam Sorbo, thank you so much. And see, here's the thing. People, you know, when their kids are growing up, the kid, you tell them no, they say, why? Because I said so. And that was supposed to be the authority figure. A lot of people have graduated from the Spock Institute of whatever, higher learning, and, you know, whatever Spock says. And I'm just like, no, we can't do this. You know, we've got to change your way of thinking, folks, which is one of the reasons why I have people like Sam Sorbo on the show. And this book is phenomenal, because it makes the parents go into detail and question their own past. Like, is failure always a bad thing? And how did you experience failure in school? And what do you think you're doing to your child? I mean, this is just incredible, all the questions you ask parents. Fill in the blanks and tell us your story.
Right, so that they can look back on it 3 years from now and go, wow, I've come a long way. And then look back on it again 10 years from now and say, oh, my gosh, I had no idea how brainwashed I was. I just saw a reel on Instagram of Robert Kiyosaki, who's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he says school is a terrible place for children because it's where they learn that failure's bad. But if you don't fail at anything, then you clearly haven't tried to do anything. Everybody fails, and they should be applauded for their failure. But another one of the school lies is that failure is bad, which means don't try. So I boil it down to these four core lessons that we all learned in school. Don't ask, because you need permission to ask, which is, by the way, has resulted in a culture today of trust the experts, and look where that got us during COVID. So don't ask. Don't read. The teacher read the book. She's going to tell you what's in it. All you need to know is what the teacher told you. So don't read. This is why we hate reading. It's a terrible thing. Don't ask, don't read, don't try because failure's bad. And then the final one is don't think, just regurgitate for the test what the teacher told you, pass the test and move on with your life. And then when you leave school, you literally have this attitude of, man, if I never have to crack another book, if I never have to learn anything again, I will die a happy person. This is a terrible, terrible place to be. Let's go back to the founders. Benjamin Franklin was the oldest one of the founders. He participated thoroughly in the whole process of founding the nation. He was a Christian man who believed in God, even though they teach you in school that he was a deist. He was a deist for about 6 months of his life when he was 15. And he's the one who actually said to the founders, how about we pray on this before we try to move forward and see if God doesn't have some advice for us to keep us on the right track, because they weren't getting along at that point. Benjamin Franklin signed all four documents that founded the nation, including the two treaties with Europe. He was the most famous man in the world. He was more famous than Michael Jackson. Why? Because he was an inventor. Did he go to school for that? No, he didn't go to school. Full stop. He didn't go to school. And that is what preserved his curiosity and his love of truth and discovery. And so, you know, we owe electricity to him. We owe so much to him because he was a guy who was never bound by school. And that's what you want for your children. Not only that, you want your relationship with your children. School forms a wedge between you and your child. And every time you send your child to school every day, you're telling them, I can't. The school knows better than I. And that destroys your image for your child. Your child wants to revere you. You've been given your children as a gift from God, and they have so much to teach you. And I really want to encourage you, parents. You are enough. You know more than the 22-year-old graduate of the Marxist Teaching College. You know more than they do. You have more to offer your children, and they want to hear it from you. And no, it doesn't take all day. It doesn't even take half a day. It takes less than an hour a day to teach your young children, and maybe a little bit more time piecemeal during the day for older children who should be encouraged to work on their own, and their own curiosity will drive them. So our job is to ignite their curiosity and then get out of the way.
Yeah, I love that idea. I did that with my own daughter, educated her, and now she's a nurse. You know, the thing is, right? It was like, oh, I'm sorry, honey, but you have to dissect the frog. I mean, you're not going to learn about biology unless you dissect the frog. And the beauty of it is there's other homeschool parents out there that get together in collective units like the one I was involved in. And the parents get together and they all take turns teaching things that they're aware of. You know, they may have a skill set out there that other parents don't have, and they can step in and take over, and you get to participate and be there with the child and see whether or not they're receiving it and where they actually need the help. You get hands on, right? Because this is exactly why I have to blame our government, because they sanction this kind of behavior. They allow these teachers unions to exist. And they turn around and then say, well, now you have to go get a college education and pay all this money. And we've got all these people over the age of 60 responsible for $63 billion worth of student loan debt. This is another fallacy.
That they're trying to forgive, which means that that's on you and me.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Our tax dollars. But they'll just print more money, which is also on you and me, because that's inflation, and that deflates the value of our what money we do have. But let's go to the biggest, the worst lie of all, probably. I can't rank them, but really one of the worst lies of all is that success equals money. They teach this in school, and the avenue for that teaching is college prep and career readiness. That is the quoted goal of every school, college prep and career readiness. If you go visit a private school, their claim to fame is where their graduates go to college, okay? Well, now we see the colleges are bullcrap. Harvard has completely tarnished its reputation. The other ones, too, so that's going downhill right now. But the college prep and career readiness is a very dangerous message, because the message that it is that your value is tied only to the amount of money you can earn, and that you need to go get a job and work for somebody, because that's college prep and career readiness. That is not entrepreneurship, okay? And so when we're teaching this to children, we're teaching them to sacrifice their honor, their relationships, because we don't teach morality in the school. We don't teach relationships in the school. We don't teach how to be an adult. We don't teach how to actually have a successful life. All we teach is go make money. And so now we have they've coined a new term. It's called adulting, because kids are so astonished that they have to do things that adults do when they graduate high school and their high school, college. And they're like, oh, so now I'm adulting, because that's a novel concept to them. No, your job as a parent is to raise your child so that they can be a successful adult. What is a successful adult? Not somebody who holds a good job. A successful adult is somebody who can have relationships, who can maintain relationships, who knows how to give and forgive and ask for forgiveness. That's a successful adult. And somebody like that knows how to hold a job. Like, that's secondary, but it's a corollary. So it comes along with the rest of it.
I really feel sorry, Sam, for some of these people. They're out of high school and they've got a job and they go on TikTok, which is now back and is, an item of contention right now. And they're whining and saying, oh, I don't have enough time to go get my nails done. And, and they act all entitled. It's like, is this what our school system has become? A place where these kids are turned against their parents and act entitled?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And meanwhile, we're telling children, oh, you're accidents of nature. Your life has zero value because you literally just came out of the primordial ooze by accident. It's a terrible message to send. This is why I'm astonished when Christians are surprised that a child comes into a public school and shoots it up. Why are you surprised? That's what they were taught in school. Bullying is the law of the land. That's called survival of the fittest. They teach it in school. And if you're a Christian parent and you're sending your child to a secular school, shame on you, because that school is teaching your child that your religion has zero value and actually might be a black mark against you.
Yeah, they really want to come after parents and break up the family unit, because to me this seems like this is the direction that they're headed and this is where they want to go, and it's going to take a government that understands those principles to fix it. Sam Sorbo,
where can we
get a copy of the book?
The book is available at sorbostudios.com. Also, of course, on Amazon, where all everything is sold.
Yeah.
If you go to sorbostudios.com, we have free shipping, and we bundle it with other things and stuff. So check it out.
You really need to do that. Sam Sorbo, God bless you for all the work you've done, and I really appreciate everything you've done with this book. I have a hard copy of it right here. Folks, you need to go get a copy of it, especially if you're having problems with your child. It's not too late to reach out and do the right thing. Thank you so much. We'll just keep the faith and pray for our inauguration to be uneventful. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.